When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hope everybody is doing wonderful on this lovely Sunday evening. We're here to talk about a football match, but not only a football match. We're here to talk about cheating. And I know Mike took a stance on this, but I'm going to say the word corruption. Any of those sort of words that you want to intertwine with what we saw yesterday, we are going to talk about it. There is a lot of football to talk about as well, but mainly this podcast and this stream is going to be focused on the absolute shambles that we saw unfold before our very eyes yesterday, as Liverpool Football Club were absolutely robbed of any sort of result away to Tottenham. And I know this is kind of old news, and you know what? I think this actually might be better than doing it yesterday, because we've tried to introduce a no-swearing policy on this channel. You know, we're sponsored by a company that, you know, makes cards, and, you know, you can get your cards. I'll show you one. I'll just show you the Kilkenny one for now. There you go. You can get that if you use TAT Pod at checkout, 15% off. So go ahead and check those guys out. So with all of these things, you know, aiming at sort of younger audiences as well, we try and keep swearing as minimal as we can. But I think if we did this yesterday, there would have been a lot of F-bombs. There would have been a lot of strange things said, let's just say. But we're here. We've all slept on it. We're all ready to go. Grab your popcorn. Grab whatever you need. And we're going to get into it. But Mike, how are you, my friend?
Seething. I'm still seething. Yesterday was a travesty in Premier League football for a number of reasons, which we're going to get into. But I don't think there's been anything satisfying said or from their side of things in the last 24 hours. We've just released a statement, which we'll go over now. But from their side, absolutely nothing came out in the last 24 hours that I deem satisfactory considering the circumstances.
Absolutely, nail on the head. And Elliot, I know you had to sort of take a break from the game. You were that angry. But yeah, how are you now, mate?
Yeah, no, the first time I've ever had to do that, unfortunately. I'm okay now, I think. But I'm sure we'll get
I did the same thing for the Aston Villa game in lockdown, mate. Don't worry. Last two goals I didn't see of that game.
Sorry, I watched that one. I laughed my head off at that. I thought that was quite funny. Yeah.
But guys, there's 20 of you in here, so make sure you smash the like on entry. Subscribe if you haven't already. And we're going to go straight into this because Liverpool have literally just released a statement. And Mike, if you don't mind reading this out, mate, just so we can discuss this and dissect this.
Yeah, so we put this out at 8 p.m. for those who haven't seen it. I'm just going to read it out. So the statement goes, "We fully accept the pressures that match officials work under, but these pressures are supposed to be alleviated, not exasperated, by the existence and implementation of VAR. It is therefore unsatisfactory that sufficient time was not afforded to allow the correct decision to be made and that there was no subsequent intervention. Such failings have already been categorized as significant human error, is also unacceptable. Any and all outcomes should be established only by review and with full transparency. This is vital for the reliability of future decision-making and as it applies to all clubs, with learning being used to make improvements to process in order to ensure this kind of situation cannot occur again. In the meantime, we will explore the range of options available given the clear need for escalation and resolution."
Yeah, so there we are. Liverpool have spoken. And if you've been living under a rock and you're not sure what that is about, obviously this is the decision in question amongst a lot of other things that, again, we'll get into. But this is obviously the main one. The score was 0-0, was down to 10 men. Mike, I don't know about you, but, you know, people were telling me, a few people were coming up with all sorts of different excuses to why, you know, it might have been offside. Like some people were saying, oh, they've probably got an angle that we don't have. But I saw this without any lines. I saw this without any different camera angles. And I think I'm quite good at telling offside. I usually get it right a lot of the time when it goes to VAR, before they've drawn the lines. You know, you can often spot an elbow, a kneecap. You can spot something that they're going to go on. But in this case, it is as clear as day without any lines, without any other camera angles, without anything else needed. You can just look at that picture and tell that he's offside. Why has it not been picked up, do you think?
Why? all right, why? Complete pure incompetence. People that clearly are inept to do their job at the present moment. Maybe people don't understand the rules of the job that they've been trained to do. It's inept. But I think in the moment when watching the game, I was naive. I watched the game and I seen that come up, and I was watching it with my stepdad, and we both went, well, that looks onside, so it's got to count. Got ruled out, and we instantly went, right, we didn't see the lines, but when it's very rare these things get, you know, wrong. You know, when it comes to offside, VAR in the Prem doesn't get it wrong. Maybe it just is like a hairline and it's just taking the mick a little bit. That's what we thought. Got on with the game, continue watching the game. The rest of the decisions continue going on in the first half. Get to halftime. I went on Twitter and finally seen the still image, because I tried to avoid looking at my phone during the game. I seen the still image. I showed my stepdad, and yeah, it was. And like you said, you look at the image and you can see so clearly the lines on the pitch that the groundsmen do, who, you know, they are so meticulous when they do these lines on the pitch. They provide clear evidence towards, you know, who is in line and who isn't. Diaz is not just onside, he's a yard onside. For them not to pick it up, for the commentators to be able to pick it up, for people in the stands to pick it up, for the players that are behind and in front of this line to be able to see it, it says it all. But the four people in the box that were dealing with it, for whatever reason, which I'm sure will eventually come to light, they didn't see it. And when they did finally see it, how they put it, it was a miscommunication. It was apparently too late, although I've seen plenty of circumstances where a decision needs to be overruled and they brought it back. It is not down the phase of play. I think that is a lazy excuse.
I remember United once got a penalty after the full-time whistle.
After the full-time whistle. That was my exact thought. So there you go.
Yeah, coming to you, Elliot, obviously, none of us will ever know why it was missed and why it wasn't just stopped and the goal was given in that instance. But there's been a lot of talk that there was a miscommunication between the guys on VAR, thinking that the ref was saying it's a goal. So they've just said check over, assuming that means it's a goal. And then you almost see, well, you see this clip of the referee. There's a split second where he looks like he's murdered somebody, right? He looks so sheepish, and he goes to put his whistle to his mouth and then he pulls it away. So when you're seeing all these things and you're hearing that, you know, there's a miscommunication, this is like the biggest and most watched league in sport. Like, you know, in any sport, this is probably especially in the UK, this is the most watched thing on the weekends. It just is. So how on earth are these people in these jobs where, you know, let's not forget, things like this have cost us in league title charges in the past. Not to this extent, of course, like we've never had anything like this, but it is these key moments that can ultimately cost us the title. So why are these people still time and time again allowed to either make these mistakes, which, okay, people might say, oh, everyone makes mistakes, but then how can you just be so poor at your job in terms of communicating it's a goal? Like, how does that happen?
They get away with it every single game. I couldn't even sit there and enjoy a not-so-super Sunday between Forest and Brentford, because there's about three decisions they get wrong. There's a penalty on Wisser. There's the red card, which shouldn't have been because of a corner, which they missed. It's just mental how you can't even watch a run-of-the-mill mid-table game without them being the centre of focus, because they are that bad at their jobs. And the biggest problem, it will remain the biggest problem until someone who I don't know steps in, because they regulate themselves. So these lot yesterday are going to have a nice weekend off now, and they'll get back after the international break and we'll all pretend it never happened. That's how it's happened for how many years? I don't, especially with VAR, because the VAR is meant to help, but it's just made them look even worse. How that's happened, I don't know. It shows how poor they are at the one job they're qualified to do. It's just insanity, really. So they need to not be able to regulate themselves. It's going to cost. This will happen again. An error of this magnitude, even though it's so rare and just mesmerizingly bad, this is going to happen again because they regulate themselves and they all give themselves a pass on the back after every weekend, how good or bad they do, and they all look after each other because they're a bunch of middle-aged mates who don't really understand what's happening around them.
Listen, going off the back of that, I think the biggest gripe that, you know, a lot of us are holding, it's one thing for some of the decisions in the game, which maybe VAR looked at, where it's an interpretation of the law, right? Because then you can lean on the fact of, right, they are looking at the law. They don't know the game because they never played the game. They're looking at the law. There's always going to be that argument there. Was it a red? Was it not? Was it yellow? Was it not? Was it a foul? What is it? Was it not? That's part of football. You have that conversation, right? Chances are you side with what your team is. It's always been part of the game. But when you have technology that is implemented to basically rule out human error, to then apparently be at the fault of human error. It's insane. And it discredits Tottenham, because Tottenham were a very good side and Tottenham are a good side, but no one's talking about Tottenham. No one's talking about the game. No one's talking about anything that happened in the game. All we're talking about is the officiating. And listen, it's unfair on Tottenham. It's unfair on Liverpool. It's unfair on the Premier League. It's unfair on footballers, coaches, fans, that all our attention is on the referees. And if you want to get rid of it, get rid of VAR. Go back to how it was beforehand. Get rid of VAR so you can get it right. If you can't get it right now, don't use it. Because we've had it for 5 years. Your first couple of years, you give leniency to. You go, right, there are errors that are going to be made. It is new technology. We are learning it. Mm-hmm. We are too far in to then still be learning the technology and still be making it. It's insane. It's insanity.
But this is just an offside. It's very basic and obvious and as clear offside, well, onside, as you'll ever see. There won't be another clear and obvious onside decision to be made in the league this season, because most of them that go to VAR are
just a matter of fact.
Are very close, yeah. But this one is just so miles onside. It is an absolute joke. And you know what? It's a flipping good job as well, that in the past, that these liners as well and the officials that are on the pitch, that they have, well, some of them have decided to blow up later, because how many more times would we have seen this where, you know, if they blow straight away and you don't get the chance, Luis Diaz, he got the chance to shoot. And I feel so sorry for that lad, because we were all sat here pre-season saying how Luis Diaz is an incredible player, but he just needs to work on his end product a bit. He's doing that now. That was an unbelievable finish from Luis Diaz, and it got stolen away from him. We were 1-0 up at that time. I'm not saying, you know, we were guaranteed to win the game, but the way we played with 10 men, I'm pretty sure we would have, because when we had 10 men, even when we had 9 men on the pitch, we were defending absolutely fine. You know, of course, we'll get on to Alisson. He had a few mad saves to make, as he does every single game at the moment, but I'm pretty confident we would have got minimum a point if that goal stood and we were 1-0 up. This team is different. This team is built different to what we saw last season. It's completely different. Last season, we would have lost 4-5, 6-1. I said the same thing against Newcastle. But in this game, in this situation, when you saw the players playing how they did, I said at half-time on the space, I said, I don't care what happens now. I mean, this was before a couple of other mistakes in the second half from the officials. This was after just the Curtis Jones red card, which we'll get onto in a moment, and the offside. I said, I don't care. I won't be here at full-time if we don't win this game, shouting at players, shouting at Klopp. They can do whatever they like. I don't care. Because what we're seeing right now, and this is after just 45 minutes, is a disgrace. And I don't know what it is about Liverpool, but this is the third red card, and we'll get on to Curtis Jones. This is the third red card we've had in 7 games. This is the third game in 7 when we've had to, you know, just try and think of a master plan, which Klopp has every single time. Even yesterday, what he did to that team was incredible. So the third time now that's happened. Brighton, it got revoked, because McAllister should never have been sent off. Virgil van Dijk, you know, people debated whether it was a red card. I think it can be harsh, but in the law of the game, he is the last man. If it's a foul, it's probably a red. But then he got a further game for swearing. Well, we've seen all sorts of plays where officials since then, nothing's happened. And then obviously Curtis Jones yesterday, which we will get onto. I know obviously, Mike, you touched on things being subjective, and obviously a red card is subjective. You know, it's a matter of opinion, not fact. I can't but think again they got this one wrong. I'd love to hear your take on it. I've not spoken to you, but Curtis Jones gets the ball, his foot rolls over the ball, and again, when he goes to check VAR, they're already showing him the end result. They're not showing him how he won the ball first and his foot just accidentally rolled over the ball. There's no malice in there. He's not tried to harm the opponent, and I know that doesn't really matter, but my point is he won the ball, he just slipped over the ball, and they've shown him the end screen where his foot is in his ankle. So they're obviously going to send him off, aren't they?
Yeah, listen, there's a bunch of different things that go wrong with this decision. First and foremost, my biggest gripe with referees will always be, at the moment anyway, is they know the rule book, they don't know the game. And it's frustrating. It's very frustrating. It's very hard to get ex-players to become referees, obviously. But you can tell that if they play the game, they didn't play it very long. Because anyone who's played football knows that he's gone for the ball. All the momentum, Klopp said it brilliantly, all the momentum that Jones had went into the ball, and then he's rolled over the ball and he's gone into the lad's ankle. Don't get me wrong, it's not a great challenge. Don't get me wrong. There's ways that we could... It's a yellow. It's clear as it's a yellow card. You give it a yellow, you go, yeah, it's a fair yellow. It is
last
what it is.
Warning.
It's a tough yellow. It's one of those, you know what I mean? Yellow, best behaviour. It's one of those. it's not a red to me. You're playing the game. You're going for the ball. Townsend said it. Townsend's Spurs, former Spurs player, Spurs fan. So, and you know, he said it as well. He said it's a compact game. It's a physical game. You're meant to go in for these challenges. And all he's trying to do is scoop the ball. He's not going for the player's ankle. It's not malicious at all. And now he's got a 3-game ban from it. It's absolutely ludicrous. And then on top of that, when they go to review it, there's still images and slow motion that are used in these moments. I understand why you use slow motion. You've got to slow it down. You've got to see all the action. I understand that. But you need to watch it in full speed first. The first thing you should do, walk over, watch the whole moment in full speed, not the end. Full moment of full speed, then in slow motion, then your still image. He walked over and looked at a still image of Curtis Jones's studs in the lad's ankle for 10 seconds before seeing the rest. They are influencing the decision. Whether it's intentional or not, people can have their conspiracies about it. I don't lean into that. I think it's incompetent. I think it's all about how incompetent they are. I think it's incompetency at its highest level. I don't believe it's corruption. But that's a different conversation. With that being said, it's insane. You're forcing his hand. You're making the decision for the ref. The ref didn't have a good game at all, but VAR had the worst game, which influenced just how poor the ref was.
This comment, I'm going to call it out. Absolute nonsense. This is the most stupid thing I've ever heard. We've literally lost title charges because of stupid handballs in the box, you know, blatant handballs in the box, and officials not doing the job before. You know, you can say this about every team that, you know, they get VAR stuff against them. But if you actually look at the stats and the numbers as to decisions that were proven to be wrong, we're very high up the list. You know,
and also we gave reference to the Notts Forest game, mate. So we're not just talking about Liverpool here. United got done by it literally on the weekend as well. They should have had a penalty because it was handball. City got done by it on the weekend. Notts got done by it every weekend. Most teams are getting done by it. My mum's a Spurs fan, fella. You don't watch this often, do you? My mum's a Spurs fan. I watch Spurs get done by it against Arsenal. So listen, learn the game before you come here commenting. You absolute idiot. Go on, let's move on conversation and just kick the guy out because I'm not dealing with idiots today. I gave him time. I gave him time and I tried to be polite because I was reading his other comments and fair enough, he's a Spurs fan and he made some good points. Let him go. But that's a very stupid comment, mate. So learn the game and come back.
Elliot, red card, mate. What are you saying?
This is the point where I couldn't watch on because I was watching it and as soon as you hear they're going to check it, I went, if they give this, I'm not watching it because I couldn't. It's just insane. I think it's the epitome of the phrase, they haven't played football, they don't know football, is the slow motions, it's the still images, because that is not football. Football is at 110 mile an hour at all times. So why on earth are you looking at slow motions? I've said it for like since VAR is being in, they continue to do it. And also, when Webb came on Monday Night Football or whatever it was, I don't think it was exactly Monday Night Football, it was just a Premier League thing. They showed obviously the audio. The VAR influences the main ref before they see it themselves. That is just mental because it floors the whole thing. The referee needs to have a rethink of his own decision, but he can't rethink his own decision because he's already got a thought in his mind that his decision's wrong. So
that's a good point. As soon as nowadays you've seen him walk into the monitor, there's no need to even show him. We already know they've been told their decision's wrong.
Because they're ashamed that they're going to have to change it. So they know that they're going to change it. Anyway, it's just the most bizarre setup. And then even more bizarre is the fact that they have this leniency, or they did at the start of last season, to let challenges go. And now it's all about respect and it's all about their power. They've totally contradicted themselves again. And now it's just mental. They couldn't wait to give that red card. And I'm not even leaning into a conspiracy. I'm not doing that because I'm so against that. They couldn't wait to give it because they wanted the still images. And it's like they have to have put their authority on every single game when they can't just let the game be played out. It's not a red card. And I know people are saying it's so bang on, but then you're looking at a still image again. You've got to look at the whole state of play and you've got to look at context. I think Gusto got done with it last weekend. I think he was a Casemiro one, which Man United fans were arguing about. You've got to look at context with these challenges. And I think it's so important. And that's where the phrase, they don't know football, comes into it so much for me, is the still images.
Exactly that. And it's just crazy that the way that, you know, that these guys are just constantly making a mess of things time and time again. And like I said, mate, as soon as nowadays you hear that, oh, it's being checked, and as soon as they go to the monitor, there's no point even hoping anymore that, you know, we all knew Curtis Jones was going to get sent off. And the one thing I will say is Gary Neville yesterday, fair play to him, and you'll never hear me say this again, ever, ever again. So just if you're a United fan and you're watching this, enjoy it. But fair play to him, man, because he's usually, I usually find he's quite biased, and but I feel like yesterday, even him, because at the end of the day, he loves football, right? He loves Manchester United, but first and foremost, he loves football. And I think it just sort of hit a point for him yesterday where he just felt like, this can't go on, because every single bad decision they made, he, even him, Gary Neville, the most bitter mank you'll probably ever find when it comes to Liverpool. Yeah. We've seen it. We've seen these conversations with Carragher when we've been going for titles.
Oh, they
we've
don't hide it. They wear it.
Jealous
he
is. Yeah. Fast, so we've seen that side of him. But for him yesterday to, you know, almost like call out the officials for the Curtis Jones red card, and then obviously the Luis Diaz offside, and then after the game when they made the statement, he was going, oh no, like for him to do that, for me, I was like, you know what, Gary Neville, fair play, because you've shown to me that when you want to be, you can actually be honest and level-headed. I just want to see this more, and this isn't, and like we said, Mike, this isn't just about Liverpool getting robbed.
No,
okay, not. For us right now, this is, because we want to win the league, believe it or not. We want to overtake City and be the best team in the world again. But this is also just about football in general at this point. And people will come in this stream, like the guy that was just on there before, they are Liverpool fans again. Wait until it's your team on the end of this. Wait until it's, you know, a relegation side that, you know, need every single point possible to stay up in the Premier League.
Well,
wait
I'll
until it's
this.
The Champions League final. Wait until it's the FA Cup final. And then we'll see all these other guys that are like, oh, Liverpool fans, Liverpool fans. Nonsense, a lot of them. Sorry.
But here's the thing. So you mentioned a really good example. You said, what about in the final? He's a Tottenham fan. But listen, I'll say it now. It's in the past. We got a penalty in the Champions League final. It wasn't a penalty because of a poor VAR decision.
What's a penalty?
Both of you put it to the side. Right.
If there are still any Spurs fans in there. No. Mike will say, "Oh, don't go at Spurs. Spurs didn't do anything wrong. I do not care. Hold that.
I will say this. About fans that say Liverpool. Come on, Ben. We're better than this. Take that off screen.
I'm not better than anything today, my friend.
I respect it. I think for me, like the point is every team's affected by it. Yes, we've had decisions go in our favour that we shouldn't have got. Every team has, but every team's also had VAR decisions that they look at and they go, there's absolutely no way. There's no way they're giving that as a penalty. They're giving that as a red card. They're giving that as an offside. And it's got to the point where it has cost teams trophies. It has cost teams titles. And I'm not just talking about Liverpool when I say that. It has cost teams a place in the Premier League. It has cost teams that escape and relegation.
Goal line tech wasn't working. And who got relegated as a result?
Bournemouth. I'm pretty sure it was Bournemouth got relegated. It was a corner or something. And it either crossed the line or didn't or whatever. And it went the wrong way.
At half time, it showed that it was a goal or something.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It's the technology, if we could find a way to use it right, like we did at the World Cup, that is how you use it. But they're not willing to do it. I don't know whether it's money. I don't know whether it's ego, pride, or whatever. But the officiating in the UK for the last 5 years, if not a little bit more, has not been the best in the world. It's not been top three in the world. It's not. It's just not been.
And now the Saudi League won them all, apparently. Well, they're very welcome to each and every single one of them.
And
we'll get on to that as well, because something else, our mate Paul Joyce did an article earlier. We'll probably touch on that just a little bit.
Yeah.
But let's try, and I know it's difficult, but let's try and talk a bit about the football side of things just for a bit, because there are things to discuss in terms of the actual game. Their goal, I don't want to talk about it too much, but yeah, just a bit unfortunate, I think, at that moment when we'd just been disallowed a goal that we worked hard to get that was, you know, a legit goal. I think for a little bit after, we just sort of lost our way a bit in the game, and they just play a really nice ball through the defence. Richarlison cuts it back. Son obviously taps it in. But yeah, for our goal, I want to talk about our goal. I don't care about Spurs, small club, don't care.
Come on, Ben.
No, I don't care. I really don't care today, my friend. Our goal, and because of everything else that happened, Mike, our players they're heroes, every single one of them. And people will laugh because we lost, whatever, fine. But Dom Szoboszlai, that pass to Virgil van Dijk, I've not seen anyone speak about it since. And rightfully so, because, you know, there were far more important things to talk about. But I watched it back, and that ball to Virgil van Dijk was world-class, first of all. The knockdown from Virgil van Dijk, again, brilliant. And then Cody Gakpo, who was injured, to swivel and smash the back of the net. Brilliant goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, great goal. I mean, listen, it's a great ball. To be honest, it's quite a Trent-esque sort of cross the way, you know what I mean? It was in that space before the box. Great ball in. Van Dijk, you know, heads it down. Pretty sure it's Matip, the other lad in there. So it's Matip or Joe, I can't remember. And he like swings there that it completely misses it. When it falls to Gakpo, his first touch wasn't ideal. I think we all thought, all right, set it back. So when he swiveled on the spot and had a shot, it was a great finish. It's a shame it came at the cost of his right knee or whatever it was that ended up popping. And, you know, it is a shame because I think he was starting to recapture form, but he was just showing the glimpses of just how good he can be at times. You know, he got a goal in the cup game. He got a goal today. He was, you know, sorry, yesterday rather. So he was just looking quite sharp. So it was a shame that he picked up the injury the way he did. But crucial goal at a crucial time. Could have been a crucial goal at a crucial time if things were, you know, dealt with correctly. But yeah, it was good. Really good moment. You know, great moment.
Yeah, and we obviously head into half time, Elliot, at 1-1, and we're down to 10. And, you know, we've actually given it a really good go at this point. And I just want to talk about Alisson Becker for a moment. And I feel like we do this on a lot of podcasts, a lot of streams. We always talk about this, man. How good is that, man?
It's like every game he's proven more and more so that he's getting better almost, if that can be possible. Because at this point, I had managed to turn it back on. And then when the second leg got given, I turned it back off. But I'd seen Alisson two back-to-back saves. The Maddison one is just obscene how he reaches that. He generates like a jump out of nothing. It looks like it's tailored in because Maddison's quality, obviously, and he's very good at them curling efforts, especially from free kicks as well. So it's a fantastic, like, reach. And then the Son one, I thought that was in. I thought it was in. I was ready to turn the TV off. Mm-hmm. But he somehow does it again. And it's just, it's so annoying that you're having, I'm going to go back to it. And I don't want to go back to it because I want to speak about the football. Even if it is a Tottenham win, I still want to speak about football because that's what we all love. And it's what we're also passionate about. But we're not speaking about it. We're speaking about incompetent fools. If it's not for them, Alisson's got a man of the match on his back and everyone's going, look, putting the focus on him when he should have this focus. And it's a good job we're speaking about it because them saves aren't normal. It's like the Newcastle one, they're not normal. They're all the focus on Nunes. But Alisson deserves so much credit every single game because it's not just these, you know, controversial games or, you know, the last minute wins. It's the simple wins that he does everything for, you know, the 3-0 against Villa or the 3-1 against West Ham. He's making a world-class save in them games and it gets overlooked because Liverpool have got like a plethora of attacking talent. So he needs the biggest pat on the back in the world and so does every single one of them lads yesterday because, yeah, it was a disgrace and he'd done all he could. And at 10-11, I would have backed Liverpool to win that game.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And we'll get on to the second suspension, which is a good little segue into there, Elliot. We'll talk about this Diogo one, but first of all, Nunes was ready to come on, which is the disappointing part for me because that game was screaming out for Darwin Nunes. A Darwin Nunes winner or equaliser would have been a winner at that point, wouldn't it? That was in the stars. That was there. I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but I was screaming for Nunes to come on from the 60th minute. And obviously, we didn't really get the chance to see him because obviously Diogo gets sent off, which changes the game plan yet again. Mike, there's two bookings to discuss in this one. We'll talk about them both. Obviously, the first one, I think it's Udogie, however you pronounce his name, is running in front of Jota. Trip up, Diogo gets booked for it.
Yeah, right. I mentioned this before we came on. Jota had made two before, basically, where I knew the next thing he did, he was getting a yellow card. Now, this situation, there was no foul. Udogie's clipped himself and gone down. But the ref, for whatever reason, thought Jota clipped him. Now, because Jota had committed two fouls prior, he got a yellow card for it. It was very unfortunate. It's very unlucky. It's bad refereeing. You can say that 100%. Perception-wise, if I'm actually trying to be understanding, I can see why the ref thought. VAR aren't going to get involved. The ref's view, I can understand it. We have the beauty of the camera angles. But Udogie goes down and appeals for a yellow card on Jota.
And he's already
that by the refereeing association came out at the start of the season. If you call for a yellow card, you're meant to get booked. He didn't get booked. And if he had got booked then, he would have got sent off because he was on a yellow card. But I digress.
Can win the game?
I never like to say we would win the game. We wouldn't. No, I never get into that.
10-10.
I never get into that because you don't know what can happen in the game. But yeah, listen, it changes the game. It changes the game. And but of course, no yellow card given because there's no consistency among the refs in the Premier League among the rules that they set at the start of the season, which was only 9 games ago. So phenomenal effort, lads, at staying consistent. You've got 9 games in and you've not kept up with a single one of your rules. And there's 38 games in the season. So I can't wait to see what happens next. And yeah, then you have the second yellow card, Elliot, if you want to talk about that one. Because I mean,
that was the only bit where I had a criticism of any of the Liverpool players. Yeah, you can't. What's he doing? Where's Gomez going as well? And I'm not having to go at any of them, not criticizing them, but just want them to have a bit of a, I don't know what the word is, just a bit of maturity, but like that's unfair because he was so mature throughout the whole game. But Gomez charges up, doesn't he, and leaves Xhota like 3-on-1, and then Xhota doesn't release the ball and then just dives into the maddest chance I've ever seen. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just a bit stupid from Xhota, but this goes back to another decision where they got it wrong, simple as that. And it's such a good point, Mike, that consistency, because it's like they don't see how, it's like they make these rules and then don't see how it's going to affect them. Because every man and his dog could have told you that they're not going to keep up with that stupid rule where they've all of a sudden decided that it's going to be yellows every single time when that was always meant to be some sort of rule. But now they just pick and choose. And with the swearing as well and with the people getting £125,000 fines, but no, everyone else can crack on and not have a dent in the bank account, but Van Dijk has to have it. So, and it's very clever from Klopp. I know I'm progressing a little bit more that he didn't jump into that because it changes the headlines from...
He did very well.
Yeah. Klopp angry,
and very well.
It's not Klopp angry, it's abysmal refereeing again. So that's the focus should be on that, and the focus shouldn't drop from that. And imagine it won't drop from that with Monday Night Football tomorrow night. And I'm sure there'll be another abysmal decision in that derby tomorrow night as well, because it's every single game. But yeah, going back to the original point, Xhota just a bit foolish. And I mean, I wouldn't even say it cost them for the game because they've done a standard outstandingly well, and it's just poor, unlucky, awfulness for Joe, Big Joel, unfortunately. Well, it is what it is, but I'm sure you'll go on to an album.
Yeah, I mean, the first yellow card is a disgrace. The second one, when you're already booked, and you know you're nice, and you know this ref's a bell end, I can't really excuse Diogo for the second one. But like Mike said, I can't help but think it shouldn't have got to that stage anyway, based on the rules that they've set themselves. So I can't moan at Xhota for too much, but what I can say is when you have got a yellow, wrongfully or rightly, you know, you have to sort of just take it on the chin, maybe have a conversation with him after the game or when the ball's gone out, whatever. You don't lunge into those challenges when you already know this guy is in a horrible mood for whatever reason and you give him a reason to send you off. But go on, Mike, did you want to touch on something?
No, I was just itching the back of my head. Sorry, okay. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. But yeah, what I will say, and I think we're just going to talk about the team in general, the team's performance, and what happens next in terms of on the pitch, off the pitch, that kind of thing. There's been very few games for me where I've been as proud of a Liverpool team as that. And, you know, like I said, people will laugh because we lost. People are so simple in this world, and they'll look at the scoreline, they'll see, oh, it says Tottenham 2, Liverpool 1. What the hell are you talking about? But there's few games for me that have been turning points for this Jurgen Klopp team. Obviously, the West Brom one when we celebrate after drawing. Everyone ridiculed us for that. Look what happens next. You know, that was the making of this Liverpool team. We got battered at Tottenham. Lovren got subbed off after 20 minutes. That was the making of us getting Virgil van Dijk, the best centre-back that I've ever seen at the club. There's been so many significant moments that have marked Liverpool and what we've done under Jurgen Klopp, and I truly believe that this will be a game we look back on in May and think that's where something special happened, because they've messed with the wrong team, guys. They don't know what they've just done. You don't want to give Liverpool a reason to even play with more fire inside them than what they already do. You don't want to give us a reason to be angry. You don't want to give us a reason to want things more than we already do. This team desperately already wants to win trophies this year, but now this has happened. It's going to be scary. I'm telling you now, this is the start of something. And the Klopp said it. He hit the nail on the head yesterday. He said, I learned far more about my team today than what I would have learned if we won this game. And I thought, you know what? Fair play, because that is so true. It's unbelievable. Most managers would have, many other managers probably would have been disappointed that we lost. Not him. Obviously, he's angry. He's very fuming, obviously. But he's not stupid. He knows what he saw from that team yesterday is exactly what he needed to see. 10 men, 9 men. We lost the game because Joel Matip, bless him, he had an absolutely terrific game, which is why it was even more sad that it was him ultimately that scored the own goal. But at the end of the day, we lost with nine men due to a freak goal at the end. You know, we didn't get outplayed. We had nine men for 25 minutes. And Liverpool have never been known in my lifetime for being, you know, a defensive unit, a team that plays like that. I saw yesterday that we can do that. So if we can do that with nine men and 10 men, just think of what we can do if we need to win a game when we've got 11 men on the pitch. This Liverpool team is not going anywhere. This Liverpool team has only just begun. Like Klopp said at the start in pre-season, this isn't a rebuild. This isn't a redevelopment of the team that he's already had. This is fresh. This is brand new. This is a recharged Liverpool team. And what they've just done, Mike, is the worst thing they could have done to this squad, this manager, the fans, because every game from now on is going to be, okay, they've messed with us once, they're not going to do it again, and we're going to show them that, you know, we are still here. They can try and stop us doing it. I know you probably don't believe this, but I do believe there is a conspiracy somewhere along the line. They can try as much as they want to take things away from us, but at the end of the day, mate, the cream will always rise.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the first thing I'll start with, I think when it comes to the conspiracy side of things or the corruption side of things, I'm always hesitant to launch that allegation because I think it's a very heavy allegation. It's not impossible. You look at Barca, what's happening in Barcelona at the moment. So it's not impossible. By no means would I ever rule it out. I want to approach my criticisms of the refereeing association with as level ahead as I can. And that's why I lean it
more than I am. I don't care. I just say,
no, it's cool. You know what it is? I'm trying to just do my best Gary Neville impression. but it's overall, like the way I see it, I think what makes great teams is a siege mentality. I think Sir Alex Ferguson was the greatest at doing it, hands down. No one will ever get better than Fergie, and Jose Mourinho were the two best that have ever graced football at creating the siege mentality. Mourinho actually might have been better than Fergie. And Klopp and Pep come in close third. The ability to basically make the culture of the team around, okay, it is us, the coaches, the fans, versus everyone else. You go on that pitch and you fight. It is a war zone. Every decision, everything you do, you pump the crowd up. You seen it yesterday. It was 1-1. Trent had it in the corner, top right, and the ball got kicked out. And he turned to the fans. He starts pumping the fans up. And you see Nunes do it at the end of the game. We'd lost 2-1. Nunes goes over to the fans. He's pulling at the shirt. He's pulling at the badge, pointing at the badge. And it's the siege mentality of, and it's the connection between the players and the fans as well. Like, we've always had connections with our players. This season feels the way it did in you mentioned the 2-2 against West Brom, where you felt like Klopp was connecting with the fans and the team were really connected. It feels like that again. I think it's a very dangerous thing. It's almost the refereeing equivalent, or it's the publicity equivalent of when Xhaka kicked out at Trent at Anfield. It's the equivalent to that. Because that's what you have. And I think it's going to be a very interesting season now. I already was excited about this season. This makes me more excited. I don't know how things are going to go in the future. I don't know the outcome of this. I do think we're going to take it further as a club, judging by the statement, the final line, in terms of escalation. I do think that. I want to see us get the Jones red card overturned. We won't get the Jota one overturned. That can't get overturned. The Jones one, I'm hoping, gets overturned. And then if things were right, they would be fined. They won't be. But if a player gets fined for breaking the rules, a ref should be fined for the incompetence of it. Not being suspended for a game, all right? You don't have to ref today. Oh, gutted. I'll watch it at home. No, you should get fined for that. You should get sent on a training course for that. Don't think you should be fired. I don't get in that bracket. But there has to be genuine repercussion to this. There has to be genuine investigation into this. It can't be swept away. And Neville says something about an apology and how an apology does mean something. An apology means something to me when it isn't a publicist written letter that has got no name from and no name to. If you want a genuine apology, I want the people from VAR to come out and go, listen, I am sorry. Darren England, come out. I am sorry. I made a mistake. It was a genuine incompetence. It was accidental. He comes out with that apology. I'm not saying I'm not saying it's all forgiven.
What happens then?
But I'm saying that should be a step of many.
Yeah,
I'm talking.
There should
still be fines. There should still be
about saying. If I go tomorrow and make an absolute howler at something I do, the first thing I do from just being a decent human being is go to my manager and saying, "Look,
but the PGMLO do not do that. They put out statements on behalf of the association. We apologize. Don't give me that. Give me a direct apology from the individuals involved, because that's how it should be. You own up to the mistake. Van Dijk has to apologize for swearing at a referee. The club don't apologize for Van Dijk. Van Dijk has to apologize. The ref should be held to the same line. The refs aren't, and we're not allowed to criticize referees either. Players and managers try and criticize referees and they are fined. And I think that is outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous.
He said, if you can't pass comment. It's funny for you guys. You guys are trying to make me bite, but it's funny for you, but it's expensive for me. Elliot, Mike spoke about a lot there, but I'm going to bring it back to the sort of fire inside Liverpool now. What do you think this does for us? And obviously, we've got two games coming up. We've got Union, whatever they're called. Sorry, I'm not being disrespectful. I just don't know what they are. All I know is they've got Kevin McAllister, not from Home Alone. Alexis's brother. And then we've got Brighton, another tough away game a few days later. So what happens now, mate? Where do Liverpool go back? And do we bounce back from this straight away, surely?
Yeah, I mean, the Clancy, anything could have happened on yesterday. He could have been 12 and on to Tottenham. And I expect Liverpool to beat Union St. Gilles. I'm going to attempt to pronounce the name. And that's not being disrespectful, but the quality of the leagues is clear for every single person to see. I'm really eager to see them again, because it feels like they need to win a game for everyone to get over it and everyone to kind of put it to bed that, you know, it's not going to affect Liverpool. I don't even think anyone's thinking that, but like just to affect us ourselves, because how do you stop being annoyed at something which should never have happened? It's impossible for that to happen. So I think everyone's going to be eager for Thursday and definitely Sunday as well, because it's obviously another tough test to see where Liverpool are at. And what Mike said about the siege mentality, sort of wears out your mouth, because that's exactly how Klopp I built this Liverpool team, and it's why you're so perfect for this, just this city alone, never mind the football club. So I think it's going to push them towards wanting to be better and proving that they can overcome even referees being against them, because, I mean, there was other decisions, never mind just the most ridiculous ones. He was the Van de Ven on Gomez, and he was a Robertson yellow card for nothing. So it was like it was from the first minute. It was mental, but we don't want to go out on that too much, because we have done it. Just ruins everyone's mood. But I think Liverpool, they know that this is what I mean. I said this before we came on here, is I would, if I had to pick whether it was, you know, Liverpool unfairly beaten or Liverpool fairly beaten, you're not just going to pick fairly beaten, because this below City have not looked, I'm not going to say at it, because they've won every game before yesterday, but they've had so many scares. The squad's so small and they're having two goalkeepers on a bench they can't fill. They're not in the best position they've ever been in. Rodri suspended for the next two games. They're in a bit of a pickle, if I could even say that, because that's not the Manchester City we've seen under Guardiola. Arsenal look like they may be clicking a bit more than you have Tottenham, who have been good and looked good, even if they weren't great against Liverpool yesterday. This result blows open the league for me, and I think there's four teams who can very much believe that they're capable of going for it, whether they will keep it consistently. I think Tottenham fall off, but I feel like Liverpool, Arsenal, City can definitely believe that they're all in a mix here, and I think Liverpool need to go out on the Sunday in a week's time and prove that nothing's going to stop them. And I think we will see that, because that's what Klopp's built the team, which has won every trophy possible, on.
Go on.
No, all right, yeah. I can't say Spurs will fall off. I don't know. I feel like, why would they? They've got no European football. Mm-hmm. They're out of the cup. So they, but between now and December, they've got the least amount of games of anyone that's in there. I'm not saying the title challenges, but I'm also saying people need to just, I don't listen. I know we hate Spurs, da da da, because of what happened yesterday. Whatever. I look at this. It is what it is. Spurs are play very good football. They got very good players. James Maddison's top three number tens in the Premier League. I'm not buying into this they'll fall off or whatever. I think they're going to be in and around the top three, top four for the whole season. It's not about falling off. It's just about keeping up with City, and that's where every club's at. So we'll see what happens. I think we're involved. I think Arsenal are involved. And you know what, Ben? I'll say it now. It's a bit early, but sack it. We're in the title race. I'm after it now. All right.
Mate, we are. Oh, this was trying to tell you, bro. This team, I said it at the start, is different. It's a differently built team. Like, and I don't think like neutrals have watched enough of Liverpool this season. Obviously, we've watched every single minute. So I think we're going to catch a lot of people by surprise. If you've actually sat down and watched Liverpool, you will have known that we, like I said in previous podcasts, we're only not even six, seven. We're nowhere near the final product yet. We're doing well, but we've still got gears to go. We've still got levels to improve. And that's the scary, scary thought for me. And it should be for the rest, like Newcastle fans, surely big up yourself. But it should be scary for these guys, bro. It should be, honestly, they should be petrified now. Because if you didn't think we were title contenders before, trust me, we are now. And, you know, I look at these players, I look at the midfield, I look at what we have on the bench, I look at the manager, I look at the fans. There's no reason why we can't go for it. And I'm almost ashamed of myself because I did predictions at the start of the season. I put us third. I'm like, that's so disrespectful to my own club. How dare I think Arsenal are going to finish above us? I slapped myself in the face.
You were thinking neutrally, that's why. You were thinking neutral at the time.
I'm thinking, what an idiot, Mike. Because I know it's going to be us or Man City like it always is. There's only one football club in this whole country that can stop Man City, and it's us. So, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and we have to do it by 10 points, because if it's close again, they'll make a way for City to win the league. And Mike, I know you're going to hate that I've said that, but that's how I feel. We've seen it twice.
Get it out. I get it.
We've seen it before in the past. We need to make sure that we are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 points clear of Man City in order to win the league. If it's a matter of 2 or 3 points, we're not going to win it, because I don't want us to. And I'm not bothered if, you know, people say, oh, that's a wild accusation. Who cares? That's how I feel. That's what I'll say.
Mate, you're a football fan. You talk about your emotions. Not wrong with that. I will say, if I can say one thing, not to do with Liverpool, though. Now, listen, not to do with Liverpool, Jordy. I've been reading that comment for the last 5 minutes, and I can't tell if that's genuine or you're taking the mick. Because he's in Champions League football. It's both in it, really. He's a lovely lad, Jordy. I've got no harm against him. But I can't.
Listen, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it because every game that we've only played one so far. But I just know we're going to win. I know it's going to be easy game.
1-1 up here.
Yeah, exactly. Going as well, to be fair. So, Mike, hope you're free first, isn't it?
I will be as well.
You put Doak out there, you put Elliot out there, Joel Kwanzaa. You know, it's so exciting to see these young players. And Elliot, just coming back to you, you said this all along, and fair play, that this being in Europa League this season, no one wants to be there. You don't go into a season thinking, oh, yeah, I want to be in Europa League. But with this whole rebuild and this new, like, Liverpool 2.0, as Klopp calls it, this is probably the best sort of situation we could have been in for these guys to get a chance.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I was always persistent on when Fabinho was being linked away for him to be sold, because you do the rebuild properly and get these players in, because you have 6 Thursday nights where they can adjust and get used to playing for this Liverpool team. And it looks like that's what Klopp's going to do. And especially now, these 2 red cards, you play Jones and Jota probably for 90 minutes now on Thursday, because they're not going to play next weekend. So it's one of them where they kind of, it helps Klopp out a little bit, especially because, I mean, the group isn't of good enough quality compared to Liverpool. Because as I said, I think a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week, if you put Liverpool in the Champions League right now, I make them to be 4 favourites, I think, going off bookies and things like that. So that's why Liverpool are able to just change and chop the team around. So yeah, the Thursday, they need to just get out there, and the youngsters, we get. And I think if you were to ask the likes of Van Dijk and Alisson, they'd want to play again because of how much of a shambles that was yesterday. So I'm not going to say he will do that because of that. There's a massive game on Sunday. But, you know, it was, of course, Anfield Europa League. It's going to be exciting. It'll be exciting to see Udine St. Gluz. I don't think I'm announcing that right at all. But they are part-owned by Brighton, aren't they? So it's like a double. I'm pretty sure they are. I could be wrong with that one. But it could be like a double Brighton Thursday and Brighton Sunday. But I'm excited because you have Jota and Doak. And it's interesting, though, with Gakpo injury, I think it's going to be a bit of a worry. We need to know how long he's going to be out for, because it determined how you're going to rotate the five front players as well as Doak. But now with the Gakpo injury, I think he might have to be a bit more careful with who he plays for 90 minutes, especially if Diaz and Nunes play 90 minutes against Alaska. I don't think he's capable of doing that for them too on Thursday.
No, I agree. Completely agree. Obviously, we looked at the attackers that we had, and now we're already a couple down, especially for the Premier League. Gakpo's injured and Jota suspended. So, I think that is the beauty of having the depth that we have now. And like I said, I'm looking at our bench week in, week out, and you compare it to seasons gone by, even when we won the league and the Champions League, the bench at the minute is just always looking very good. That you can make changes and still be very good. And, you know, we still got Thiago and Bacetic who weren't on it. Obviously, I think Klopp said that Bacetic has just had a minor injury, a little setback. Hopefully, it's nothing too serious. We've heard setbacks before and they've turned into months and months out. But Yeah, let's just hope we get to see a changed up Liverpool team on Thursday night, but also obviously get the win. And hopefully there's a moment where McAllister and his brother can be against each other. That would be nice. But Mike, do you have any closing thoughts, mate, before we wrap this up? Because I think we've covered everything that needs to speak about. We've covered on the PGMOL how shambles they are, and this Darren England or whatever his name is. I hope he stubs his toe on every piece of furniture he walks 2 weeks. But yeah. Anything you want to say, mate, before
my,
we wrap up?
My closing comments will be, what will be with the PGMOL. We can't control that. What I can say is the reaction from the club, the players, the fans, everything on that side of things has made me feel even more confident about this season. So unity, I've not seen this club for a while. It's a special energy at this club at the moment, and it makes me proud to be a Liverpool fan. Makes me proud to be able to go to that city and be around those people. You know, it's just up the road. I'm grateful for that every day. And we're going to make it a special season. There's going to be more than just one season too. There's a lot of talent in the squad, and the fans are all on side. Everyone's on the same page. Doesn't matter if you're FSG out, FSG in, or however you want to call it, E-Red, or whatever you call yourself, whatever. You're all together. No, but we're all on the same page. We're all singing off the same hymn sheet. And it's the first time I think that's happened for a long time. So let's use that energy. Let's all get on side, and let's go prove everyone wrong. All for it.
Yeah, facts. And Elliot, anything you wanted to add on to that, mate?
Yeah, I just think the PG I've butchered that one.
Hey, I butchered it before. You're good.
I think the biggest thing is that every single Premier League club and every single Premier League manager and every single big top journalist can't let this go now for me, because it's been an issue for years. This is the biggest and most ridiculous issue we've ever seen, I'd go to say, especially in the VAR era, because it's a camera. You watch the camera, you bring the right decision, but they're not capable of that. I think they can't let it go. I think they've got to push it, and you know, every single game's going to have this issue now, because we've seen how bad they are, and you can't let it go. And I don't know how exactly it's going to change, because they regulate themselves, and that'll be the biggest issue, and it'll be the biggest issue until something changes. I don't know how that will change, but we have to just wait and see. And I'm glad Liverpool have done statements, and I think every Premier League club should give a statement to say this isn't good enough. But we've seen every manager come out and say, I think Heckenbottom a couple of weeks ago was absolutely livid, and that's been a regular occurrence. So what, we're 8 games in, it's a farce, and it will be a farce until something changes. But going to Liverpool, I think they can use this, and I believe they will use this. And I think Klopp's comments after the game proved that, and we've seen it before. We've seen setbacks in Liverpool before. It's 4-1 Tottenham is the biggest one you can use, and I think that proves that this team will be up for the biggest fight of their lives now, because it's Liverpool against the rest of the world, and I think that's how Klopp loves it to be.
Facts.
Absolutely. Guys, massive thank you to everybody that's been in here, everybody that's commented. Anfield lad, hope you're good, mate. Hope we'll see you in the next one as well. Virgil, Luke, everyone that's in here, Geordie, big up yourselves, Ali A. And obviously, we can't forget Georgie as well, channel regular. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, guys. Put your notifications on, because we'll be live after every single game. We're not going to preview every single game, because it's just crazy. And I think you guys, well, not you guys, but some people don't realize how much this can take, you know, when you're working full time or you're at uni or whatever. It's a lot to do every single game, 2 streams. So we're going to do as much as we can. We promise that we'd do match reactions for every game. But we'll have a preview actually on Wednesday night with Tom Phillips from teams like Brighton. If you guys remember, Mike, I think you was on that one when we signed McAllister.
Yeah, I remember. Nice lad.
Yeah, Tom's going to be back on the channel Wednesday night, probably 7 p.m. So make sure you're around for that one. We'll talk about Brighton. And then obviously it's a bit weird because we've got the Brighton podcast on Wednesday, but then we play on the Thursday. But if we didn't do the Brighton one on Wednesday, we won't be able to fit it in because we play Thursday. So it's a bit tricky, but we'll work it out, guys. Just make sure you subscribe, turn notifications on, and we'll see you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.